So let's start off with a survey. How many of you gave to your kids or your parents gave to you growing up castor oil? Come on, let me see your hands. Now, I'm not here to say it worked, and I'm not here to say it didn't work. I'm not here to say it tasted great. I'm not here to say it tasted awful. But there were people that bought into it, and they thought it healed everything. I mean, if you were constipated, castor oil. If you had a cut, they would pour in castor oil. If you had problems with it, they would rub it on you. Hey, there were some. I'm not here. This is not medical. I'm not giving medical advice. But those people thought castor oil will fix anything. And if you sniffled or coughed, they'd say, hey, open up. And they'd just pour it in. I'm not saying I did have a mama like that, and I'm not saying I didn't. I'm not saying. Now, here's what's interesting to me. And again, I'm not giving medical advice. The castor oil has changed over the years. So there's new kinds of castor oil, and these people think, hey, this will fix anything. And their kids sniffles, they're giving it to them. Got no opinions about it. I'm not saying. Come to Psalm 145. Literally, David's saying, if you'll do this, it'll fix it. And this is not just some home remedy. Oh, try this. David's saying, whatever your issue is, Psalm 145 will fix it. You say, well, what's he talking about? Literally, I didn't know what they were singing today. I titled it Psalm 145, How Great Is Our God. Because in Psalm 145, David goes through the whole psalm, and he's just telling the world, his children, his family, his co-workers, how great his God is. And he says, if you, and there are certain supplements, certain these natural things I take every day. And you say, does it do any good? Well, if I don't take them for a couple of days, I can tell. I'm missing it. Hey, he's saying, you do this every day. It works, and it helps. So this morning, four steps to abundant living through praise. The sermon I'm entitling today, Praise Him. First truth I want you to notice, verse 1, notice the promise of praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. So Psalm 145, David begins by making a vow to God. I'm going to praise you every day. And then you look at the last part, forever and ever. So this was not a 1 week commitment. It was not a 1 month commitment. It was not a 1 year commitment. He said, I'm going to be a person who praises. Look what it says. I will extol thee. He says, my God. It was personal for him. You read through this chapter 4 times. He says, I will. He was resolved. He was committed. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise the Lord. Period. Now, a lot of times, first of the year, we're making resolutions. No sugar. No Little Debbies. No Reese's Cups. This was a life-changing decision for David. He said, this is not just, a New Year's resolution. I am basing my life. I'm going to do it. Look what it says. I will extol thee. It's to elevate to a high place. To lift up, to exalt. David says, I choose to raise high the name of God above all other names and above all other entities. He says, he's my God. His adoration flows out of a personal relationship. If you do not know him personally, you can't praise him. It won't work. Look what he says. This was late in his life. David the king says he is my king. David was the king over Israel. God was king over David. This was a sovereignty issue. David had surrendered to the sovereignty of God. God was his king, and he was a man under authority. So he said, hey, I might be the most powerful man on planet Earth, but God's more powerful than me. And he acknowledges, every day, I'm going to praise him. I encourage you, make this commitment. I'm going to be a person who praises. Praising God presently is a prelude for praising God forever and ever and ever. Now some of us Baptists think, well, when we get to heaven, then we're going to become praisers. David says, I'm not waiting to heaven. I'm praising right now. Worship of God is impossible if you don't have a relationship with him. But when you have a relationship with him, it makes you want to praise him all the time. When we praise God, something supernatural happens. Often in our circumstances, every time in our heart. So you're having a bad day, a flat tire, you run out of gas, whatever it is. The remedy, start praising God. I will bless him. I will praise him. I will lift him up, for he is worthy. Hey, a lot of times when we're praising, our circumstances change. But when we praise him, our outlook on life changes. We stop viewing it from our perspective, and we start looking at things from God's perspective. Walls come down. Enemies are defeated. Darkness turns to light. Demons flee. Healing takes place as we magnify God. He made a vow. I will extol God every day, forever and ever and ever. So that's the invitation. I want you to make a vow, a promise, a commitment. No more being a negative Nelly. No more going around being a sad Sam where I'm just, everything's bad and everything's gloozy and I'm pointing out everything that's wrong in the world. There's enough of people like that. Determine that you're going to praise. When it's raining outside, I'm praising. When it's snowing outside, I'm praising. When everything is perfect in my life, I'm praising. When everything is horrible in my life, I'm going to praise him. One of the most important vows you can make, because it shows lordship. See, if you're on the throne, then you're trying to fix all of the problems in your life. But when you say, I'm not Lord, he is. And I'm praising him because he's going to fix all of the stuff in my life. It's all about lordship. Who's on the throne? Is it your comfort that you want? Or is it God's will that you want? Now, some of us, we married some sports fanatics that when it's a certain season, the people we married are going nuts over sports until their football team or basketball team loses. I appreciate all the condolences that we have received in the Jackson house the last few days. And you checking on my wife. Hey, is Tracy all right? Most of you, I responded, she hasn't spoken to me in 2 days. I don't know. David was a God fanatic. And God will never let you down. God never doesn't show up. God never is defeated by the foe. So, hey, if you're a sports fanatic, good luck. If you're a God fanatic, you will never be disappointed. Amen. Number one, the promise of praise. Number two, notice the persistence of praise. Look what verse 2 says. Every day I will bless thee. and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Now, he look back at verse 1. He just says, I will bless your name forever and ever. And he says it again, I will praise your name forever and ever. David takes an everyday view of things and an everlasting view of things. His time was made up of days. And he says, hey, the way I'm going to get to forever and ever is today. And I'm going to praise God for today. Praise is not to be an occasional exercise. It's to be a continual description in your life. Have you ever thought about the words you use in a day? Are they praiseworthy or are they destructive, negative, defeating words? David says, I want to be on the praise team. I want to be on the exhortation team. I want to be on the team that lifts God up, not tears man, excuse me, down. David determined never to let a day pass without praise. Daily praise, let me say it again, prepared him for eternal praise. I don't know if you had to, when you were in college, had to take any remedial classes. But I remember very clearly going and having to take those math tests and those English tests to see if you would have to do remedial math or remedial English. I'm not saying anything, about our upbringing, but some of us, when we get to heaven, we're going to have to go to the remedial class on praise. Because we've been taught and we've been trained. No. We don't raise hands. We don't smile. We don't praise. We don't sing. And we definitely don't shout. You know what we're going to do in heaven? Praise. Some of you, you're going to get there and say, man, I was a deacon for 32 years. Taught Sunday school. And they's like, you don't know jack about praise, remedial class. Praise. I will bless thee. What verse says? I will praise your name. Praise is to be spoken. It's not to be quiet. Not enough to think God is great. You are to say it. You're to sing it. I'm here to say, get you a hanky and shout it because he's worthy, is he not? If he's worthy, then why are you just keeping it in your between your ears? No. Say it. I think it builds. You say it. Then you start singing it. Then you start shouting it. And then you get to the hanky wave and says, and you just said, hey, I don't care what they think of me. He's worthy of our praise. Psalm 40, verse 10. They're going to put it on the screen. I hope this is never said about me. I hope this is never said about anybody at Beulah Baptist. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Hey, I'm not hiding his greatness. I'm not concealing it. I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm speaking it and I'm declaring it. You're in verse 2. Look down at verse 12. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. I've already asked you this morning how many of you God's been faithful to you, and y'all all raising your hand. You know, your neighbors, your coworkers, they're never going to know of God's mighty acts in your life unless you say it. Unless you speak it. Unless you testify of it. David was planning to praise God forever. And he says, you know what? When he comes back, I'm going to be ready and I'm not going to the remedial class. I want to go to the advanced class. Hey, skip first, second, third, fourth, fifth grade. You go to high school because you are a praiser. Amen? I think it's remedial class for some of you. He's like, preacher, what about when things aren't good in my life? I'm supposed to praise then? Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. They're going to put it on the screen. they passed a law going after David because they couldn't find anything wrong that he was doing. They said, you cannot pray and you cannot praise. In response, and if you do, we're going to throw you into that lion's den, and those lions are going to tear you limb from limb, piece to pieces. They're going to gnaw you, and they're going to gum you to death. Response to that is what Daniel does. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You say, why would he do it? Because he knew prayer and praise was so powerful, he could not live without it. Says, hey, I'd rather face lions than go a day without prayer and praise. Number two, the persistence of praise. Thirdly, notice the purpose of praise. Look at verse 3. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now, David's talking about Yahweh. He's talking about the great I am. The God who, when Moses came to him at that burning bush, he said, take off your shoes from off your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. That's where what David is talking about. This God is so unsearchable, no human mind can comprehend him. He's so vast. We can't just touch the bare minimum, the hem of his garment. He is a God without beginning, and he's a God without end. He's a God uncreated. He's a God eternal. He's a God that's self-existent. You go back before the dawn of time, before the stars ever glimmered in the sky, before the rustle of an angel's wings that disturbed the silence of eternity, back in the dateless, timeless past where it was nothing. And there you find God. And he's self-existent, and he needs nothing. The whole reason that you are here today, because God wanted to show his love to people, so he created you. And our response is, how great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? Hey, I want to do it every day. I want to do it multiple times a day. This psalm. You read through it, and I encourage you this week, read through all of the Psalms. It reveals the attributes of God better than any other chapter in Psalms. I would contend almost better than any chapter in the whole Bible. James Montgomery Boyce put it like this. It's a summary of all David had learned about God during his lifetime of following hard after God. Now think with me. Look back at the verse. Look at verse 3 again. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. You go out tonight, and if it's a clear night, on an average night that's clear, the skies are clear, you can see between, scientists tell us, between 2,500 and 4,500 stars. They say that our Milky Way galaxy, just our galaxy that we're in, has 200 to 300 billion stars. Billion. And scientists tell us that there's probably 3 trillion galaxies outside of our Milky Way galaxy. Now, our Milky Way galaxy, if you could travel at the speed of light, moving on, it would take you 100,000 years to get across from one side of our Milky Way galaxy to the other one. And there are, they estimated, what they can discover by the best telescopes. There are 3 trillion galaxies. And we look up 2,500 to 4,500 stars on a good night, and he spoke them into existence. Our God is great. We are a small speck on one planet. And we, when we think, oh, it's all about me. Oh, you need to start blessing the Lord. It's not all about you. It's all about Him. Don't want to talk about stars. Want to talk about the ocean. Do you realize the ocean covers 71% of the Earth's land mass? Plunging, if you go into some of the deepest parts of the ocean, it goes down, I got a picture, 36,000 feet in some places. Places human beings have barely ever explored whatsoever. And see, when we think about the ocean, 71% of our Earth is covered by ocean. We just glimpse the top and say, wow, that's beautiful. His greatness is unsearchable. The best thing you can do every day is get your eyes off yourself and put them on your great God. Because then you're ready to go out. Hey, God, it's all about you. It's not about me. I'm ready to serve you. That's how we all should begin our day. With praise, number three, the purpose of praise is to exalt God. Let me give you one more. The promotion of praise. Look at verse 4. And I like this. This might be my favorite one. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Each generation of believers will add to the storytelling of God's faithfulness. They will give their unique contribution in praising God. So my grandpa's generation, they're going to come and my grandpa, they were running the aisles. My generation, I can't get them to wave a hanky. I can get them to blink a few times. But we're going to get it. It's almost like passing the baton. You know, you're running that race and you come to the next generation and you pass it off. And you pass, hey, we're going to be praisers of Almighty God. Hey, has He blessed us? Has He been faithful in our lives? Your children and your grandchildren are not going to know it unless you're testifying. Unless they see you praising Him early in the morning, at lunch, and at evening before you go to bed. David was encouraging God's people to encourage your kids to praise. That's what he's saying. The older generation inspires the younger generation to praise by looking at all of the things that God has done in their lives. And the younger generation, they're coming on, doing it a new way sometimes, but saying, hey, God is real to me. God's been, yeah, we might do it a little bit different, but God has been faithful. It's passing the baton from one generation to the next. Let me show you a verse. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Here's what cannot happen and what must not happen in this generation. Also, that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. There was a generation, they had the baton of praise, and they went to pass it off. But they didn't declare it. They didn't testify it. They didn't sing about it. They definitely didn't shout about it, and there was no hanky in their life. And what happened? The next generation grew up not knowing of the faithfulness of God, and the baton dropped, and their generation went to the devil. So here's my challenge today. Make a commitment. You're going to praise. Not just personal praise, not just private praise, not just inward praise. Every day, I'm going to praise Jesus. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to testify of it. I'm going to declare it. And even if I can't sing, I'm going to sing of the praise of God. You say, preacher, I don't know. Some days are just bad. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Paul and Silas, they had been doing what God has told them to do. They had been going and telling people about Jesus in difficult places. They're beaten They're bloody. They got broken ribs and broken bones. They get thrown into jail. And I can see Silas looking over at Paul saying, Paul, not tonight. I ain't feeling it tonight. We've been unjustly treated today. And let this has got to forgive us if we don't praise tonight. Acts chapter 16 verse 25 says, and tonight, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. And they sang praises unto God. Notice the last part. And the prisoners heard them. It's a baton. And they were passing it off. I encourage you, praise makes everything better. Don't let the devil get your tongue. Don't let the cat get your tongue. No! Every day I'm going to praise God forever and ever and ever. When things are great, woo! When things are horrible, every day I'm going to praise Him. He's worthy. He is great. His greatness is unsearchable. I'm going to praise Him. Her name? Margaret Jenkins Harris. She played the organ. Her husband was a holiness preacher. I like holiness. And she, after one Sunday night, was touched by the message, the praise. She went home and she wrote a song that, Brittany, I'm going to ask you to come and lead us. 1898. Here's the chorus. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all you people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you today to make a commitment. I'm not going to be a critic. I'm not going to be a doubter. I'm not going to be a negative person. I'm going to be a praiser. When things are great, when things are awful, I'm just going to praise Jesus. And I'm going to praise Jesus. And I'm going to praise Jesus. Let's stand. And here's how we're going to close out. Britton's going to lead us in that little chorus. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all you people, for His blood can wash away stain. And we're just going to sing it. We're going to sing it three or four times. And I just want you to make a commitment. Up there in the balcony, on the main floor, I want you to make a commitment. Every day I'm going to praise.